Hey, thanks for joining us. This is Lady V, along with SD. We are She Talks Spreading Hope Everywhere Talks, the podcast, where it is our goal to inspire hope. Today's topic, the homeless population. Who are they? Stay tuned for an insightful look at homelessness in America. Homeless population, who are they?
Yeah.
And I can remember some years ago, it was back in 2009.
Okay.
A news story that came across where there was a homeless person found, and that person had thousands of dollars strapped to their body. And so that kind of shaped my view of homeless people. The thought of a person having thousands of dollars and they chose to live on the street, that baffled me. So I framed my thinking in that all homeless people were crooks. And that was a judgment on my part.
But a lot of people have thought that, you know, not understanding that there were different stories on the street.
We weren't
knowledgeable of what their stories were.
Right. So today we're going to educate ourselves.
That's right.
And we hope that you all listening will also, it will educate you some too.
Yeah.
And that story I was just referencing, I went looking for it because I wanted to make sure I was correct. It was Mail Tribune.
Okay.
And I'll put the link in the show notes. But it, the gentleman that was found was an 85-year-old homeless man.
Wow.
And the police at that time, they said that they were shocked because he had plenty of money to put a roof over his head, but yet he was homeless, and he was found with his belongings around him. And this was in Oregon, by the way. So doing my further investigation, that's what I call it, because I was investigating for this this episode. I saw that the face of homelessness is not what we, most of us, have thought it to be. And that you would be amazed and saddened that those homeless people that you see, as Lady V said earlier, they all have a story. And I was looking at the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development. And they have several statistics about who the homeless are in this time, you know. And it may well have been then, too. But I just framed my mind, my thinking, into thinking that they were cons. And that was wrong of me. And I apologize for even thinking that way. So, according to them, there are over 552,000 homeless people.
And that's a large number for this country to have, you know, of homeless people, where there's an American dream that's being taught and sold, but, you know, everyone in America is not living that dream. Especially we're looking at the dream of living in a nice house, having a nice job, a career, you know, having that picket, white picket fence and family. You know, everybody does not have that, you know, in America. And like you said, the statistics, the numbers are greater than the what I would have thought.
And when they break those numbers down, under the age of 18, that's over 100,000 people. Between the ages of 18 and 24, it's over 48,000 people. These are all homeless people now. And then over the age of 24, it is over 300,000 people, almost 400,000 people who are homeless. Now, the sad thing is, a lot of those are families. You would, some of these families, you wouldn't even know that they are homeless. Because all it takes is one paycheck. If you miss one paycheck, then they're out on the street. And I have links to a couple stories where one story, the lady, they condemned her building. The fire department condemned their building. So all the residents in that building had to be evacuated. And so many of them had nowhere to go.
And that's the thing, you know, not everybody has a family or a savings account mm-hmm. or, you know, 401k they can cash in, you know, mm-hmm. to be able to fall back on. Some people, like you said, are living paycheck to paycheck. And so if something like that happens to someone that's in an apartment building, paying their rent, uh-huh. going to work, and then all of a sudden they're thrown this news, the building you're living in is unsafe and you've got to get out now.
Yes.
You know, if you have nowhere to go, mm-hmm. there's nowhere to go but to wander on the street.
Mm-hmm. And this lady, again, I'll put the link to the article in on the show notes, mm-hmm. but this lady and her husband, they like I said, they ended up on the street, mm-hmm. and they ended up in a tent encampment.
Okay.
And that's what's happening to a lot of the homeless.
Yeah.
They're ending up having to get a tent, and they take all their belongings and they put in those tents.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the three largest states where the homeless population is just huge.
Yeah, I know. And California got
California, yeah. but Hawaii.
Wow, Hawaii.
And Mississippi.
Now, I would have never thought Hawaii. I mm-hmm. mean, you wouldn't think Hawaii, you know, of all
yes,
the places.
Yes, yes,
you know, that's the place where everybody wanted to go, you know, to go on vacation. You wouldn't think that, I mean, not saying that homeless couldn't be even there, but mm-hmm. it's just surprising to me,
mm-hmm.
you know. Okay.
But yes, and that's what they call chronically unsheltered homeless okay. individuals. Now, that means that they are not able to get into a shelter.
Okay.
Now, the sad thing is that there are shelters.
Okay.
But yeah. those shelters can only house a certain amount of people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So
right.
if the shelter only has 30 beds, mm. if they don't get there mm-hmm. so that they're those first 30 people
yeah.
they're out still out on the street
yeah. Yeah.
and some of them surprisingly the couple that I referred to earlier where their rent they were they had to leave the building
uh-huh.
because it was condemned
uh-huh.
They had a dog
yeah
they had a pet
mm-hmm.
now some those shelters don't allow pets.
Yeah.
So if you are an animal lover,
mm-hmm.
you don't want to leave your animal just yeah. out in the street.
Yeah.
So that's why some of them are also staying in tents.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, so that was disheartening to me.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
mm-hmm.
there are programs
yeah.
that are out there for them,
mm-hmm.
but I also found out, and I was shocked to find out, is that you have to be the right type of homeless to qualify
mm-hmm.
for those programs.
Yeah, I didn't know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, this that couple, again, she said that in order to leave, the city does a cleanup.
Mm-hmm.
So every 2 weeks or so, they'll come through and they'll just clean up all the tents.
Mm-hmm.
Encampments.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if those people are not there to get their belongings,
mm-hmm.
their belongings are thrown away.
And that's like whatever they have left they own is
it's
that's gone.
Gone
too. You know,
mm-hmm.
that's insensitive.
And mm-hmm. with her, she said that she got an attorney to help her because one particular cleanup,
mm-hmm.
the city workers, they threw away her ID, all that
wow.
stuff. They just threw the stuff away.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, some of those cities feel like that, okay, that's a bad look on the city. You know,
yeah.
it doesn't look good.
Mm-hmm.
All those homeless people out there, you know,
mm-hmm.
it's making the city look bad, making
mm-hmm.
the streets look bad. But some of those people, they are working jobs, you
yeah.
guys.
Yeah.
But and their coworkers and stuff don't even realize
mm-hmm.
that
mm-hmm.
that is where they're going to.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that lady I was just referencing, she said when she first, her and her husband first were thrown out, they had to leave the building.
Mm-hmm.
She said that she could go and she could pretty much pretend that everything was fine at
mm-hmm.
her job. And
mm-hmm.
they would go to a Union Station, I think it was,
mm-hmm.
To clean up, because it was in Maryland.
Yeah.
And they would go to... They could go, they had a place where homeless could go and clean up and have privacy. They could close a door,
yeah.
go in and take a bath and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But she said what that particular day, it was closed.
Yeah.
So she couldn't just go in there, and it was closed, I guess, for a period of time, mm-hmm. you know, if I'm correct. It was closed for a period of time, and she's, her hygiene started not to be well when she got to work. Mm-hmm. So she ended up losing her job because she wasn't in a place where she could go and clean herself well enough so that she did not have bad hygiene.
And that concerns me as well, because if you think about it, if you are working somewhere and you have the authority to either give somebody a pink slip, a warning, or fire them, I mean, find out from them, you know, is something going on? Okay, I'm not trying to get into your business completely, but, you know, this is affecting your job or your coworkers because mm-hmm. your hygiene isn't so great. Is there something going on? Is it something you need help with? But see, a lot of people, sadly enough, you know, have forgotten about what being a good Samaritan is mm-hmm. all about. In scripture, I love it how, you know, when people do stuff you see on the news, they're called the Good Samaritan, do something good for somebody, they call them the Good Samaritan. But what a lot of people don't know, that came from the Bible mm-hmm. when Jesus was telling a story about how a man was beaten, wounded, robbed, and, you know, and just left side of the road to die. And two people came by, you know, and just dismissed, went to the other side like he was nothing, didn't mm-hmm. try to help. And then this one Samaritan man came by, and he stopped, and he helped, and he dressed the wounds, and he took this man who was a Jewish man, who were the Jews and the Samaritans, really, they didn't associate like that, because right. Samaritans were known as like the biracial group of a culture of mm-hmm. people, and so they didn't mix with, you know, the Jewish people. They didn't have anything to do with the Samaritans, but this Samaritan stopped and helped this man that was beside the road that was wounded and robbed and needed help. And mm-hmm. the man that he helped was a Jewish man, but he took this man and he took him to an inn, and he paid for his room, and he dressed his wounds and all of that. And he said, told the innkeeper, hey, you know, if there's any more money that is owed for this man to stay here to get well, I'll take care of it. And that is how we're supposed to be with mm-hmm. one another. But of course, you know, there are some people that are just so insensitive that they don't think in terms of, what if that was me, Lambert? Right. What if that was me that just lost my job and homeless and have nowhere to go? Mm-hmm. You know, if everybody would think in terms of the way Jesus was saying, you know, show mercy, show compassion to one another, show love, give to the needy, give to those that are homeless, give to those that need food, do it as you are doing it unto me. That is what's commissioned of the Christian, that we are the church, that we are to do unto others as Jesus said, you know, do it as you're doing it for me.
Right.
And his whole point is, if you're showing love, if you love God first, and then you love your neighbor is anybody that lives on this earth. Okay. That's your neighbor. Not just the person you live next door to, right. but your neighbor is any human being that's on this earth. If you have it in your means to help a homeless person, a person in need, then you are doing what they call is, you know, being a good Samaritan. You right. are being that person, that neighbor, and you are showing love and expressing love and compassion. But we don't have enough of that here.
That's right.
You know, you don't see enough of that. You know, mm-hmm. we do have organizations like Samaritan's Purse and Salvation Army that are all Christian-based organizations that help homeless people that have lost everything. Mm-hmm. They are Christian-based, and they base it on their mission statements have to do with, it's about the love of God, mm-hmm. that they're doing this out of helping people that are in need. But like I said, America, we got to put God back in this country because of what, you know, it's in need. The love is missing.
Yeah.
And we need the love put back in this country so we can love one another. So there's no more blurred lines between races and cultures of mm-hmm. who we help. It is no, it's just a human being. Let's help that person. If it's in your means, help a person. If you have one person, you have helped your neighbor.
Mm-hmm. And that brings me back to the who the homeless are.
Yes. Let's look into that.
Now, sadly, a lot of those, again, are families.
Yeah.
Families who have lost their homes.
Yeah.
And these people are on the street with their children.
That is something.
Now, for example, for under the age of 18, mm-hmm. There are over 107,000 people.
That's under the age.
These are parents that are under the age of 18 who have children.
That's babies taking care of babies. Babies trying to take care of babies. Yeah, exactly.
Now, between the ages of 18 and 24, there's over 14,000. And then over the age of 24, there's over 58,000 people.
That's something.
With their children. With their
children on the street. And that's tough. It's one thing if it's yourself. That's hard enough as it is. But when you're trying to find food, not only for yourself and for your children. And then I've seen some of the homeless going into the dumpsters getting food out. Going behind restaurants when they go out food and getting food out like that. So imagine trying to, you know, to do that for not only yourself, but for your child. And then a lot of parents could be going to bed hungry, going to sleep hungry. Because if they're homeless, they may not have a bed unless it's, like you said, living in a tent city or something like that. Mm-hmm. It's still not a bed, but it's a makeshift probably pallet or something or just on the ground. But the thing of it is, you know, that's, to me, it's a travesty for this, you know, this to be happening in our country.
It's supposed to be the richest nation in the world.
That's what I don't understand.
You know. The rates, the highest rates of unsheltered people in families with children, the states are Oregon, Tennessee, and Colorado.
Okay.
Oregon at 54%, Tennessee at 32%, and Colorado at 31%. That's how many families are out there. Okay. Now, who are they? Who are the homeless? Okay. Veterans.
Yes.
People who have served this country.
Let's talk about that, because that was also just such a disheartening thing to hear that our veterans, people, men and women that have served the country in whatever manner they served in the armed forces, you know, in the military, you know, to be on the streets, to me, their life, just like anybody else's life, should not be devalued.
That's right.
You know, they should be, it should be something more to be done. And then when you think about the ones that are out there that has the PTSD, that has the mental illnesses, you know, they may get to the VA clinics to get help, or they may not. You know, who knows, even if they're, some are even in that mindset to know where one is or how to get there or who, you know, in what way.
Absolutely.
So,
and that, now listen to this number. Total veterans, now this is as of 2018, because the report only comes out once a year. So this is as of 2018. Total veterans who are homeless, over 37,000.
Wow.
People who have fought for our country. Fought for our freedoms, our liberties. Now, part of those are the females, over 3,000. Male veterans, over 34,000. Veterans. And when you see some of them who have, as you said, Lady V, you could tell that they have a mental health condition. And that PTSD is a real thing.
It is.
And what it is they can't, some of them cannot deal with different sounds. They can't deal with being around a lot of people. So it does something to them, you know. And then they end up on the street, you know. So that our veterans, people. So next time, you know, you walk by a homeless person, you know, let us, I'm talking about myself as well, let us not just assume that the person is a bad person or that they were a criminal. That could be a person who served our country.
That's right.
You know,
that's
that
right.
could be a person who has a family and they're trying to get money. When they're asking for money, they're trying to get money to feed their children. You know, so it just really saddened me as I continued to go through the research over it. You know, it said, now also it said, on a single night in January of 2018, California accounted for just under 30% of all veterans experiencing homelessness in the United States.
Wow.
California, you know. And we've seen the on the news with Skid Row, and you see all the people, and, you know, and also Nevada. Nevada is another state, you know, where you see it, and you see all the people, and you think, people are like, oh, that's an eyesore, that's an eyesore, and you have to think in terms of, what if that was me? And a lot of times, I know, I was reading the one article where the young lady said that people will walk by her as if she was invisible. And she was like, don't you see me? See me.
Absolutely.
You know, I'm a real person. I'm a person here. You know.
And they want to be seen. They want to be heard. And they want to be helped.
Yes.
You know, and who wouldn't want that if you were in the same situation? And anyone could be in that situation. I don't even care. Even if you were the one of the wealthiest people, then something, you made a bad investment, then you would be on the street. If you don't have anything, if you, let's say your accounts were frozen. You know, you couldn't touch anything. You didn't have any, your friends say, oh, you know, lost all your money. I want nothing to do with you. Because then you find out if people are around you just for what benefit they can get from you or not. But if you had no one, that could happen to anyone. There is not a person immune from losing it all at any point in given time. When it comes to homelessness, I mean, it could happen to anyone. I'm sure there are some people that are on the street that never thought that they would ended up in that position, but it happened to them by chance and by circumstance. So I get what you're saying. You know, I have, you know, been guilty as well of seeing in some homeless and thinking, you know, with a, you know, sign or whatever, and I'm like, you got on shoes look better than the shoes I got on. How you know, you know, and I would think wrong thoughts and not thinking in terms of maybe they was working and then they got laid off and they had no other family in this country. You know, maybe would have, you know, or they just didn't, you know, they were a loner or, you know, but that didn't mean that they were lazy or they just blew their money on drugs or they were, it could mean that they just came across a hard time in life and that was the result of it. They ended up on the street needing to ask, you know, will you lend a hand? Will you help me? Will you give me $10 to get me something to eat for my baby today or some Pampers? You know, it's really sad. I have, was on the street in on a ministry that I'm in, and we came across, it was a young lady that was, she was probably in her 20s, and, you know, she was prostituting just for her, because she had a one-year-old, she told me, and, you know, this young lady living on the street, you know, with a one-year-old, but she has to prostitute in order to live, to eat, to get something for her baby. And, you know, when she broke down to me wanting help, and, you know, I told her, you know, the help that was offered at the program of a place that, you know, the church that, you know, I attend. And what was sad about it for me is that when you come across someone and you think, what's the backstory? How did this happen? How did she had to resort to prostitution just to feed her child,
right?
You know, just to maybe, you know, get some, you know, something to eat for them or whatever. And my heart went out to her because I know that there are all different stories on the street behind why people have become homeless, and all the stories are unique to them, which means it could happen to anyone.
And that brings me to an article I read where a lady in Los Angeles, her rent was raised. It was increased from $1,000 a month to $3,000 a month.
Now, that's a big jump.
That's a big jump. And it forced her to have to move.
Wow.
Now, the cheapest she could find was $1,800 a month. But sadly, something happened to her health, and she couldn't work for a few weeks. And then she was put out. She had a child. Now, her and her child, according to this article, were staying in her BMW SUV. Because at the time, you know, this, it was a 2006 BMW SUV. But that is what her and her child live in. And or so they can stay safe and protected. But as you were saying about the shoes, and you said about one homeless person, you thought, yo, their shoes look better than my shoes. So, well, I'm going to give you you my money for. But that thing, you know, somebody might look at her and see her driving that BMW SUV and think, her car look better than my car. What am I going to get her money for?
Absolutely.
But that BMW is also her, her home.
Yes, absolutely.
You know.
Yeah, so it gives, when you get educated on these topics, you learn that your perception of what you think a person's life is all about is really off.
Yes.
Because, like I said, I would have never thought that someone working a job is living on the street.
Right.
And they're working a job still. And you're like, well, how is that? But it can happen.
Mm-hmm.
It can happen. And like you said, this is the face of homelessness today.
Yes, you know, exactly.
And so when you think about the homeless shelters, like you said, that could have a 30 bed or 50 bed, you know, maybe that was built for way back when, but now the population of homeless is much larger, so it needs to be, you know, more, you know, shelters built. And I know there are a lot of great organizations that are non-profits, they're building or shelters and things like that, which is wonderful. But again, you know, if everyone would think, if you could be the answer to someone's prayer.
Yes.
You could be that person to give someone an opportunity to transition out of where they're at.
Mm-hmm.
You know, why not be that person if it's in your power to do?
Yes, yes. And when I was saying about the not being the right type of kind of homeless person. It was say on this article under Salvation Army shelters.
Mm-hmm.
It's The article says that a person is considered homeless only when he or she resides in one of the following places now. In places not meant for human habitation.
Yeah.
You know, such as cars, parks, sidewalks, abandoned buildings. You know, in an, you know, they have to be in an emergency shelter. You know, that's somebody who's considered homeless.
Yeah.
Because you have to be, you are put out of your own home for whatever reason, a natural disaster.
Mm-hmm.
Your hurricane comes through, wipes out your home. You have nowhere to go. In traditional and supportive housing for homeless persons who originally come from the streets or emergency shelters, you know, it's an entire list. And I'll put the link on in the show notes. But we are here to spread hope.
Yeah.
And a part of spreading hope is being aware so that you can give somebody else some hope.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, and if a lot of times if our eyes are open to see other people as human beings and that they have a story, then maybe we'll be more compassionate.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. And, you know, and again, you know, we come from a biblical perspective as well because we are Christians. And I know the word of God lets us know that there are always going to be poor and needy people among you. And so therefore, we are commissioned as the church to always be generous and to give to the poor, the hurting, to the homeless. Because basically, you know, we don't need to ignore, as a people, we don't need to ignore anyone, because everyone matters to God.
That's right.
And because everyone matters to God, God has commissioned us as the church to be a part of the solution. And anyone else that chooses to help, you know, the homeless population, that is a good thing. And the word of God tells us that person, anyone that helps others in need, has a good place in God's heart. It has, they have a special place in his heart, because to me, God is saying to me that God is looking at your heart. And if your heart is a heart of love and compassion for another human being to want to do to help someone else get a hand up, to get a meal, to get some clothing, to, you know, get a place to stay, then you are showing the love of God on the earth. And that's one thing we are, as Christians, commissioned to do, to show his love, to show the love of Jesus. Jesus is so much more to Jesus, you know, that people don't realize why we as Christians love him so much.
Right.
And it's because he teaches us the love that he has for people. It's not a certain people. It's not a certain genre. It's not a certain culture. Jesus loves everyone.
Yes.
Now, does he want everyone to choose him? Yes, because he want to show you how much he loves you. But it's all, again, like our other podcast, it's a choice in choosing Jesus. But I'm bringing him up to finalize this point that today, you know, love is needed. And you are in a place where you can be a blessing to someone that is in need, you should do it. Mm-hmm. You should not hesitate to help someone else. And mm-hmm. as God is a giver, we should be givers as well.
Yes, yes. And on that note, mm-hmm. that is also spreading some hope.
That's spreading hope.
Spreading hope everywhere. And I think that was a good closing.
I think that's a good closing. I think that's a good closing. If we've prompted anyone to give, you know, to an organization that we've even discussed up here, like Samaritan's Purse or Salvation Army or any other organization that helps the homeless or those in need, we hope that we have planted a seed that will bring about the fruit of someone else being transitioned from being homeless to having a life that is more closer to the American dream.
Uh-huh. And on that note, that sounds good to me, ladies. We're going to say bye, guys.
Hey, this is SD. If you haven't already, go ahead and subscribe so that you can stay plugged in into another hope-filled discussion. Also, if you would like today's show notes, go to spreadinghopeeverywheretalks.com/show notes. While you are there, sign up for my SDs, must-read books for positive outlook, spiritual enlightenment, and brain health. Check out Lady V's weekly devotionals. And if you like merch with positive messaging, go on over to our online store. Join us next time for She Talks, Spreading Hope Everywhere Talks, where we are letting our light shine through faith, hope, and love.